marriage, you make haste. The urgent soul, we add to that. No tarrying now, Lord. We're urgent for what we need. And so we've learned about the confessing soul, the pleading soul, the urgent soul, and tonight the grasping soul. The grasping soul. Notice David's words right in the middle of the verse. Verse 5 of Psalm 70. O God, thou art, what's the word? My help and my deliverer. Okay, and the focus is on the same word, two different words, same word, two different times. My. Okay, now we're not going to talk about me, but the word my. All right, English people, I'm not one of those, okay? The word my is what? Yeah, I knew Ashley was going to be the one to speak up, okay? Because she is an English person. Okay, the possessive pronoun. The word my is possessive, and that's why I bring it out tonight. As we pray to God, God is whose? Ours. Mine. That is a tremendous thought. God is mine. Yes, we are his. You say, Pastor, you've got it all backwards. No, we are God's. God's word says that he is mine. I am his and he is mine. Do you realize that God is ours? Not because we earned him, not because we bought him, not because we deserve him. God is ours because he gave himself to us as our help, as our deliverer. And no matter what you want to say about it, he is yours. He's your possession. You have God. And Spurgeon makes the point here, let's grasp at him. God, you are mine. And the master pleader, David, says that. Oh God, you are my help. God, you are my deliverer. And so we see this possessive pronoun listed, my, two times here. We have God, we have our help then, we have our deliverer, which means we have deliverance. And we hold on tight when we feel like the object wants to get away. Do you ever feel that in your prayer, the object of prayer is trying to get away? Now, I'm personifying whatever you're praying for. That thing tends to get away. I've let prayer, things that were important, get away because of busyness. You ever get too busy to continue to pray for some of those things that you're praying for? You were very fervent at one time of praying and you kind of forgot. You got involved in something else and all of a sudden you realize, you know what, I haven't been praying for this for days, and we let other things slip in, and it's kind of like they slowly and quietly walk away. And with this idea of this possessive pronouns, it's like, wait a second, you're mine. It's grasping, like, wait a second, hold on, don't go, you're mine. And as one starts to slip away, what do you do if you don't want to lose it? You grab on tighter, right? If you don't want to lose it, you hold on tight. Occasionally, especially with my little boys, I'll do something and I'll grab hold of one of their fingers or something like that. And it's just one of these things that daddies do. You know, you grab a hold of a finger and you grab a hold of it a little bit firmly. And I'm not trying to hurt my children, but you know what they say, hey, you know, hey, you got a hold of it tight. And it's, but I only have a hold of it tight when they're trying to pull away. I'm just kind of playing a little game. You know, I asked my wife, I'm always playing little games because I'm a competitor. I just always playing games, even if it's holding my children's hands and they're holding my hand, you know. But sometimes I'll have them hold that and I will just, or maybe I'm holding them. I will be very loose. As they try to pull away, I'll take my grip much tighter. Like, no, just stay right here. And they'll say, let me go, whatever, like that. I'll stay tight and say, just relax. If they relax, then my grip is not so tight. I'll just let it slip there. And as soon as they start to pull away, I'll grab onto that and say, no, just stay here. As I play that little game with them, I don't mean to be irreverent. We don't play a little game with God, and I'm not trying to say that God tries to get away, but as things that we're praying for sometimes tend to, and I think it's us, I think it's our grip, as we let things go, if we want to keep them, we grip harder and tighter to keep it there. We ought not let it go. Do you remember the story in Genesis chapter 32? We have Jacob. You remember Jacob God has given him many promises, and he's not been trusting in some of those promises, but he's about ready to go meet his brother. And he's scared. And he wants God to bless him. He wants God to show himself strong to him. And that's a good thing. That's a very human thing, but it's a good human thing. We want God to bless us. And you remember there at Peniel, we find Jacob in the middle of the night wrestling with the angel, okay? He's wrestling there. And you remember as they go through the wrestling match, there's attempts, and it's attempts from the angel to get away. And what does Jacob do in this wrestling match? He grabs hold tighter. No, you're not going to get away. So an attempt to escape, a tighter grip, more wrestling. And what does the angel, and I believe this is a picture of God here, what does the angel do to Jacob in the wrestling match? Do you remember he injures him? Okay. And it was a painful injury. He got me. I'll tell you, if you get an injury while you're wrestling, wow, it can really hinder things. And there could be a tendency to give up, right? And so the angel, it's, you know, if in a person, and yet, did Jacob let go? Did he? Do you know the story? Did Jacob let go? His hands might have wanted to let go. His leg might have wanted to let go. His mind might have wanted to let go. But Jacob would not let go until what? Until he was blessed. He would not let him go. Even through injury, even through hurt, he would not let him go. Genesis 32, 26 says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And that's the angel, right? Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not. This is Jacob to the angel. I will not let thee go, except or unless what? Thou bless me. I'm not going to let you go until I get the blessing. You know, we pray and we expect a lot. And many times things get tough. We get weaker. We get and become discouraged and feel as if we've got to let go because... First Corinthians 15:58, anybody know it? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. And it continues on, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be ye what again? Steadfast, unmovable. Do you think that God wants us to be steadfast and unmovable in our prayer also? What do you think? I really want to make this, get this point across, because I believe we as Christians think that sometimes the more spiritual thing is to just let go, because we want to let go and let God. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm learning something through this. I believe God wants us to persevere in our prayer. He says, I want you to stick with it. How many times have we let go because it's not worth it. We stop. And the battle is lost, and we let him go, and there he goes. You ever think you had something, and you let it go, and whoom, there it goes. I haven't had it happen to me, but my dad in the mountains of Wyoming, I remember him telling stories about how he thought he had been hunting and he had shot a mule deer, and the deer is laying there and thought it was all taken care of, and he didn't. Do you know what you check on the animal after you to make sure that they're dead? What do you check? Do you know? Ron knows it back there. The eyes. You know, animals are smart as well. If their eyes are closed, guess what? They want you to think they're dead. They're not. And so you look at the eyes. You make sure that their eyes are open. When they die, their eyes are going to go open. You get a deer that's down. His eyes are closed. Watch out. But there has been more than one time that we thought that the animal was dead, laying there perfectly still. Turn your head. Bang. They're out of there. Where did it go? And you let it slip away. I had it right here in my grasp, and I let loose, and it's gone. How many times in prayer do we let loose a little bit because things are tough? We're discouraged. When we're looking for growth and people leave. When we look for faithfulness and people don't show up. When we're looking for more giving and people close up. And the church begins to feel weak. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, so many times, I'm just going to let you into a little part of my life. I've been mentioning this the last several Wednesday nights. I've been so ready for this pandemic to get over and all the things so that we can get back. Because in my mind and heart, I've been excited and ready for more bigger things for our church to move forward. And absolutely excited about it. And I'm just going to be very honest with you. The last several weeks when I've looked at the attendance on Sunday morning and I've watched the attendance go from like 58 to 60 to 62 when I thought it was going to be 68 to 88 to 108. I know you say, Pastor, you're brainstorming and imagine all kinds of great things. Well, got to have faith, right? I'll be honest, there's been a few services where I have left here and been discouraged. I have been praying for things, for God to do work and for God to fill gaps and voids, and I come and ready for, you know, just you're expecting to come to church and God's going to just open the windows of heaven. As we've been praying for, and I've been praying what I've been trying to learn what we've been going through, and I've been trying to take it by faith, and you come expecting, and I'll be honest, it's been discouraging a little bit. Like, what's going on? How are we going to, I'm praying for this, and yet we're here. How are we going to even go forward? And I'll tell you, I found myself a little bit discouraged like that, and today this hit me over the head. Wait a second. It's the times when we feel that we just need to let, you know, it's going away. That, like Jacob, what do we need to do? No, I will not let up on what I believe to be right and true because of faithless people, faithless situations, sin, whatever you want to call it. No. It's a refusal to be discouraged. And to say, no, God, we are going to pray until you do it. Does God want to do great and mighty works at Faith Bible Church? Yes. Are there times when it's discouraging, when we don't see it happening? What do you think? Yes, there are. And what do we tend to do with it sometimes? If you're like me, we kind of let the prayer fizzle out. Would you agree that we do that sometimes? We let it fizzle out. Well, I guess it's just not the right time. Boy, I really thought it was the right thing. I really thought that we were going to be able to capitalize on this. I really thought we were going to be able to move forward. But, you know, it's not happening. I guess just put it away. Take a rain check. I wonder how many wrestling matches we were this close from winning and we let it go. We let it go. And I'll tell you, the word is not just letting go. It's called unbelief. I give up on God. I just give up and I let it go. And there it goes, running off. Oh, I had it right here. And there it went. And it's like starting over. The hunt starts over. It's gone. The deer's gone. Jacob would not let the Lord go without a blessing. He would not do it. God, I'm not going to let you go. Oh, Jacob was so proud. That proud Jacob. Folks, I don't think so. I don't think it was pride. I think that he was following God's promise. God said he would give him a blessing. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you give it to me. I believe that we're weak in prayer because we're just Christians. Well, I don't know if it's God's will. And so I don't know. And I think that our prayers get very wishy-washy. We get very weak and we're just like, I don't know. And so we let it go and it runs away. We're so close. Like last week, I want to read a little bit of what Spurgeon says. He goes through all of Jacob, which I already kind of went through a little bit of my own rendition of it, but just listen to some things that he says, and he's pretty poignant. Now, when the church begins to pray, it may be at first that the Lord will act as though he would go further, and we may fear that no answer will be given. So he's also talking about here about prayer, and we don't get any answers. Nothing's happening. Hold on, dear friends. Be ye steadfast and unmovable, despite all. By and by, it may be there will become discouragements where we looked for a flowing success. We will find friends hindering. Some will be slumbering and others sinning. Backsliders and impenitent souls will abound. But let us not be turned aside. Let us be all the more eager. And if it should so happen that we ourselves become distressed and dispirited, and we feel we never were so weak as we are now, never mind, friends. Still hold on. For when the sinew is shrunk, the victory is near. Grasp with a tighter grip than ever. Let this be our resolution. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Remember, the longer the blessing is in coming, the richer it will be when it arrives. That which is gained speedily by a single prayer is sometimes only a second-rate blessing, but that which is gained after many a desperate tug and many an awful struggle is a full-weighted and precious blessing. The children of persistence are always fair to look upon. The blessing that costs us the most prayer will be worth the most. Only let us be persevering in supplication, and we will gain a broad, far-reaching blessing for ourselves, the churches, and the world. I wish it were in my power to stir you all to fervent prayer, but I must leave it with the great author of all true supplication, namely the Holy Spirit. May he work in us mightily for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, those are Spurgeon's words, but did you catch that idea? Let us not be weak and weary in well-doing, for we shall, what? Reap if we faint not. My friend, I'm encouraging myself tonight. And I'm encouraging you in the things of the word. Let's not give up. Let's not give up when the hamstring is grabbed and ripped out from behind us. And we feel as though, what's the use? Jacob could have given up, but he did not. Jacob made a lot of mistakes, but he made a right choice here. He did not give up. God is honored when we don't give up. That is faith. That is faith. That is faith. Let's not give up. Let's continue to pray. God, your will be done. God, we believe that we want more. You've said to open our mouths wide and you'll fill it. God, you want us to press forward in faith. You want us to see people saved. You want us to soul win. You want us to disciple. You want to see us grow. You want us to be led in the things of the Lord. You want us to expand. You want us to add more missionaries. God, you want us to see more evangelism done in the area. God, you want us to do it. And God is waiting to do it, but he wants to see if you're going to persevere in prayer. And my challenge to you is, let's hold on tight and let's keep holding on in fervent prayer. Would you join me? That's what I'm doing. I've just made resolved decisions to continue to grab hold and not let the Lord go. And my fear is that many churches in America right now have let go and are just trying to survive until the rapture. Disillusioned, disheartened. Look at, there's no hope in America. And I say we could be this close from breakthrough. In America, we could this be close from breakthrough at Faith Bible Church and you don't even know it. What do you think? Do you think that God would like a breakthrough in our church? What do you think? Listen to this. The only reason why it won't happen is because of faithless people like us. That's the only reason why it won't happen. And one leader told me at one point in time in my ministry, he says, Sean, don't let faithless people hold you back. And I'm not saying that you're faithless or anybody else, but I'm saying this, as your pastor, I'm resolved to press forward for the things of the Lord, regardless of anyone else. The things of the Lord, not my agenda, the things of the Lord. We press for the prize, for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to do, and I encourage you to do the same. And God is waiting. You see, God gets the victory either way, but God's going to get the victory when we get the victory. When we get the victory, God's got the victory. It's not a wrestling match where God's defeated. We're not trying to wrestle and get God, and God's like, okay, I give up. That is not the point. God is not giving up. God wants to, he's wanting us to wrestle. He's wanting us to hold on. There you go, Jacob. Good job. You stuck with it. You didn't give up. And if that's the way he wants our Christian lives, then that's the way he wants our prayer as well. Praise the Lord. I am encouraged with what we're learning. I hope you are as well. All right.